Mark chapter 16, and let me know when you get it back in the back, if you don't mind, please. Mark chapter 16, the Lord spoke to my heart on Monday, July the 2nd, just prior to going to the mission trip. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning. I got up, and I said, Lord, what are you wanting to do in this mission trip, 2 weeks? By the way, Brother Joel, glad to have you here this morning, and the mission involvement down Weston and Chase and Chris and other of our mission team were involved in missions. And I believe God's wanting to call many of us today to serve Him in some type of mission activity, locally or across the world or whatever. In Mark chapter 16, the Lord quickened this in my heart. Look with me, please, in verse 19 and 20 of the Gospel of Mark chapter 16. Verse 19 and 20. Are we about ready? All right, let me read it real quick. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, remember Jesus had been raised from the dead, Mark describes the great miracles of our risen Lord in his gospel account. So then after the Lord had, look at verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Here's what God spoke to my heart, quickened my heart. And they went forth, that his disciples went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The word confirming means to put power together with, to assist God's power. We want you to be blessed as you watch what God did on the mission trip to Guyana. That's what the Lord spoke to my heart about. The Lord of the work is the work of the Lord. God went with the disciples, confirming the word with signs following. Our God's a good God. How many believe that God's a good God? How many believe that God's still got power to change hearts? And as we begin our journey, I want you to know what the Lord did. God spoke to my heart, and I believe the Lord wants to speak to your heart today. There are 7 reasons why the Lord of the work can be the work of the Lord. 7 reasons. And here we're going to run through what God did and some brief comments about it. Again, we'll follow up tonight on some of the other experiences God gave. Here is a picture of us flying into the Atlanta airport. How many know that when Pastor Randy got to Atlanta, he was happy? Amen. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to 135 Tanyard Court. We had a great time, but keep in mind, that morning we'd been up since 1:30 in the morning. We got our plane. We were at the airport at 3 o'clock in the morning, had about an hour's of sleep, 1 hour, and we went through 4 airports, Guyana Airport, Trinidad Airport, Miami Airport, Atlanta Airport, all through the metal detectors, etc. So when we landed, we were saying, hallelujah, we're home. How many believe? Home, sweet home. No place like home. Thank God one day I'm going to land in my heavenly home, Brother Marcus, where there's no more sin and no more death and no more sickness. How many got the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? I'm telling you, we've got much more to look forward to. One day we're going to be home. We're not home yet. But, you know, on this journey, let's note, as we went on the journey, the next picture is showing in customs. Now, this is on our trip down to Guyana, the last stop. We had been in all those airports going. We'd been up since 4 o'clock in the morning and traveled all day, and it's about 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock. We finally are reaching Guyana. Get the picture. We're standing in the lines. Full lines. We just got off the airplane. We've got to go through customs. This is mandatory. And when you get to customs, they'll drill you with questions. I was standing in the line. This dear lady working said this to me. She said, I want to ask some questions. She said, number one, why are you here? I told her, I said, I'm here as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm here on a mission trip. I'm here about my Father's business. She may not have wanted to hear that, but I told her, I said, we're here on the Lord's business. And then she said, well, what will you be doing? And I shared with her, I remember standing at the window, I'll be sharing the good news. I'm tired of the bad news. I want somebody to tell me some good news. And notice the good news. We were praising God at this church on Wednesday night prior to the meeting starting, and we were telling what God did. Let me tell you what Paul said. He said, you're ambassadors for Christ. That is, we are representatives of the Most High God, and we recognize that God sent us all the way down to South America, to Guyana, to share the good news. How many believe that we've got good news to tell? Can I get an amen? Amen. I want the good news. And look what God did. This soccer camp we had, and we'll show some more pictures tonight, about 50 or so young men. You can see them in this picture. Brother Tyler and the other men there put on this, what they call football there, but we call it soccer here. And God changed lives. After they had the soccer camp, we were able to preach the gospel to these number of young men. They were sitting in the stands. You may remember one of the pictures of that, and shared the word of God. And I want you to know God moved on them. The Spirit of God moved on them. And many of them prayed and asked Jesus to save their soul. It was glorious. I'm telling you. Thank God. Before we talk about the next picture, and I just want to ask you a question. The Lord is asking you these questions. The lady at the desk said to me, "Why are you here? What are you doing? And how long are you going to be here?" I want to ask you a question. Why are you here on earth? Do you know why you're here on earth? It's just not to go to work and come home. We're here on planet earth, if you're a child of God, to glorify the Lord. Amen. Question, are you going where God tells you to go? Where is God telling you to go today? Who is God telling you to speak to today? What is God telling you He wants to do through you? The Word of God says the Lord was working with them, confirming the Word with signs following. Can I tell you, God's not looking for our ability. Rather, God's looking for our availability. Is there anybody here that'll say, "Lord, here am I"? It may be somebody here today that God's calling them to mission field. It may be somebody today that God's calling them to preach the gospel. Last night I was at Gray, Georgia with J.R. Jones. How many know J.R.? Raise your hand. J.R.'s called to the ministry, and we'll be preaching his ordination council in just about another month. And so God's at work. Let's join Him, church. Let's join Him. And so what is God telling you to do today? I'm glad that New Rocky Creek believes in missions. I'm glad that there are missions going on over in Rolling Cove and Summer of Service. I'm glad, praise God, a missions work going on in Cordell, Georgia. Mission works with the Stone Mountain Builders and with the other teams and sending teams out. Oh, God wants us to be involved in what He's doing these days. Let's say yes, Lord. Let's say yes, Lord, today. Let's say, Lord, whatever You want me to do, I'm available to do it on missions for God. And then if you'll notice, this journey, seven reasons the Lord of the work is the work of the Lord. Seven places God is confirming His word with signs following. Do you notice this boat right here is a speedboat? That boat can travel about 40 miles an hour. How many know that's fast? Man, that boat will get up and go. I'm reminded of what Jesus said to the disciples. He said in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, He said to the disciples, watch this, don't miss it. He said, get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. But in the middle, how many know when you're in the boat with the Lord and when you're sailing with God and when you're serving with God, all things are not always smooth. It's not always smooth sailing. Can I get a witness in the house? As my friend Brother Jimmy would say. All right, that's why this speedboat, one of the most dangerous things in Guyana, the driver told me, he said, is wrecking with another boat. And certainly we saw that happen. Now, flip to the next picture, please. You see, it's raining, it's pouring down. We're encountering a storm, we're in the boat. As a matter of fact, on the way over, we were at Pastor Kane's church where he's pastoring Shekinah Worship Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday. But on Friday morning, we got in the boat and we went to the interior where you cannot access it by vehicles. It's only by boat. But let me tell you what happened. That night, as we were riding in the boat, pouring down rain, next thing you know, I shared this a couple of weeks ago, next thing you know, I noticed the water started getting choppy. We're out in the Atlantic Ocean now in a boat. Just a little bitty light, one little light. No life jackets, no paddles. Out in the middle, out in the Atlantic Ocean, I was looking for land. It's pitch black dark. And all I could think about was music in my mind. Dun 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 dun. Ah! Shark! No, not really. That's not what I was thinking. The Lord just gives us peace. I'll tell you what, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. I'd rather be in the will of God out in the Atlantic Ocean in a boat without a paddle and without a life jacket than out of the will of God in my living room in a recliner. Amen? I can't hear you, church. I can't hear you, church. Come on, God's calling you to missions, and some of you are saying no. You got the break on, and you know God's saying, go ahead, let go, and let God have his way. Serve the Lord with gladness. We're not promised of tomorrow. There's not always smooth sailing. Do you notice when Jesus told the disciples, get in the boat, the thing they encountered was a storm right in the middle of it. You look at this boat right here. There's a hole in that boat. You know what happened? One night they were coming back to our church where we were staying and we were sleeping, and the boat hit a log and it knocked a hole in the boat. One of the men cut his leg and they were bandaging up his leg. It was dangerous. On one account, we were riding in the boat, and again, these things go 40 miles an hour, and there were bends and there were curves and there were trees overhanging, and on our way back, a boat was coming the other direction. It just all of a sudden showed up, and it's a miracle we didn't collide. I mean, everybody just gasped and said, oh, right when the boat showed up, and it just looked like it was a definite crash. Somehow, some way, God preserved us. How many believe that angels still encamp around and about us? Oh, and then right when we just finished that boat, another boat came up, and God spared us again. So we got to get past customs, number one. Number two, we had the privilege of riding in these speedboats. Now, let me just make a practical application. Is there anybody here that God said, right now you're in a storm, it's raining, you can't see your way clear? Lord, I know I'm in your will. Lord, I know that I'm serving you. But God, I'm just having these storms, and I'm having these trials and these tests. What am I to do, Lord? God said he's going to bring you to the other side. I said the Lord said he's going to take you to the other side. I said, is there anybody here that'll stand up and say, praise God? God said for me to go to the other side, and I'm going to trust him. This thing is going to come to pass. I'm telling you, going through a trial now, but weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Let's say that together. Weeping may endure for a night. I can't hear you. Y'all are silent on me today. Just because the lights are off don't mean you can go to sleep. Amen. But speaking of sleeping, turn it back to the picture of this young man, Kirtley. He's a young high school student, and he went with us. Y'all see what he's sitting on? He's reading the Bible. Look at this. This is a piece of wood. Flip the picture, please. Here is Pastor Kane's. Here was our bed. Here it is on Friday night. We get to the place. We'd been up since 5:30 that morning, went to a prayer meeting, and had a couple hours sleep, and we rode in a boat for about so many hours and rode on land for so many hours. By the time we got to where we were staying, this was where we were living conditions for 3 days. Look, I walked in. I said, where's my bed? And they said, there it is right there, a bench. How many of you slept on a bench lately? Let me see your hand. I want you to know, thank God, when you're tired, you'll sleep anywhere. Amen. A piece of wood. Turn it back to that just for a moment, please. I'll tell you what. Listen, have you ever slept in a room, a small room about this size, with about 10 or 12 men in that room? It sounded like a, not praise team, but a chorus. I mean, that first night, I couldn't. That Pastor Keynes can saw some logs, I want you to know. Amen. Man, he sounded like a diesel cranking up. And all them men there together, and I said, bless God, I'm not going to get any sleep around here. I might as well join him. If you can't beat him, join. And so I slept like a baby that first night, and the second night, and the third night. And by the way, look over there in the corner. That's our kitchen right over there in the corner, a table with bottled water, and we'll talk more about that tonight. But we're talking about God's grace and God's goodness. He giveth his beloved sleep. But wait a minute, we got to go through customs. We got to ride on the speedboat. There's some hard sleeping, yes, but God refreshes us with just a few hours of sleep. The next morning, on Sunday morning, July the 8th, we took a boat ride, about 30-minute boat ride, and then we traveled by foot about 20 minutes, it seemed, up a hill, way up on a hill. We finally arrived at this church called Cloudland. God showed up and God showed out. Can I get an amen, Tyler? Amen. And then, listen, after everybody left, just like today, just because you leave doesn't mean God's going to leave.
Now the Lord's with us, but praise God, the Lord shows up even after church is over. And here, this couple right here, this man and this woman and this young lady, she was troubled. Brother Tyler saw him standing outside. She was in the church. The daddy was troubled. The mother was troubled. They were weeping. They were broken. The girl had some things in her life. And long story short, the Lord moved on in that thing, and God began to uncover some spiritual problems she had. She and the Lord led me to ask her a few leading questions. For example, have you got a boyfriend? She said, yes. I said, have you been doing some stuff that you shouldn't be doing? She said, yes, as she hung her head. And then tears began to stream down her face, and her daddy was crying. Her mama, there was a big gulf there between mama and daddy. The devil had done his dirty work, can I tell you? Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, they were the defeated disciples. They were discouraged. There was the doubting daddy. He was down in the dumps. But the deadly demon was destroying the boy. But thank God for the divine deliverer. Here's the daddy right here. You can see the troubled look on his face. But I want you to know, as we flip back to the picture of when we were praying, look at this. God showed up and God showed out, and we took authority in the name of the Lord Jesus. Asked God to bring healing. And God just brought a miraculous healing in her heart, and her daddy's heart, and the mama's heart. Let's give God praise in the house of God today. Bless the Lord. If you could have been there, you'd have said hallelujah. Is there anybody here that you're at odds with your children or your grandchildren, and the devil's put a wedge between you and them? I want you to know, God's got power to tear down the stronghold. God's got power to uproot every generational sin. We saw him. Now look at the couple now. Just a few minutes later, after we had prayed and believed God, pleaded the blood of the Lamb, and watched that young lady get healed, and watched that daddy embrace his daughter, and the mom embraces her daughter. Oh, praise God, a breakthrough, a breakthrough, a breakthrough, and we praise God for it. Now, shortly had we left there, we're still on Sunday. We just left the church. We're 100 yards away from the church. And here's a young man sitting out beside the church. He didn't go to church that morning. Look at the other young men beside him. He's angry. He's mad. He's got this hateful look on his face. And the Lord moved on my heart to sit down and say, young man, what's the problem? He's 19 years old. And long story short, God began to uncover some things in his life. And I said, young man, I want to ask you one question. What kind of relationship you got with your daddy? And brother, the word of God just moved on in on him. And God, the Holy Ghost, convicted him. He was angry. He was bitter at his dad. And we said, hey, let's ask God to help you to release this. Hear me. Release the anger. Release the hurt. Release the resentment. Release that bitterness. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. And the writer of Hebrews said this. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Lest any seed of bitterness spring up, trouble you, thereby cause many to be defiled. Is there anybody here this morning? You've been angry and mad at God. You've been angry and mad at your circumstances. You deep down inside need healing to take place. I want you to know, that young man said, I'm willing to let it go. I told him, I said, I know how you feel. I've been angry. I've been mad. But praise God, Jesus is in the healing business. And you can see God broke through. Oh, bless the Lord. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And then we come to Sunday night. This is Sunday morning. All that happened Sunday morning. Sunday night, we're at a place called Mud Creek. The Bugs were at Mud Creek. We get out of the boat and we're walking up. Look at the church now. It's just an open pole barn. I mean, just posts, trees, dirt floor. Look at the wood. Can you see the wood? That's their bench. They don't have padded pews. It's a piece of wood. Sunday night, we went up to this Mud Creek. I'm walking up the church and I'm saying, Lord, what would you have me to share? What would you have me to share? We've had a glorious day. And Bugs were all flying inside. They had one light from a generator that was operating. And we sung and praised the Lord together. And as I was singing and preaching, a bug flew down my throat. And I got choked. I thought about the preacher and told it to the crowd. Did you hear about the preacher that had a verse for everything? A Bible verse for everything. I mean, he had a Bible verse for everything. And one time he was preaching and a bug flew down his throat. And he got choked. And somebody said, preacher, you got a verse for that? He said, yes, I do. You were a stranger, and I invited you in. Anyway, God showed up and God showed out at Mud Creek. It was glorious. And the Lord put on my heart to share Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10. Zechariah 4:10. Here's what the Lord said. Watch this. This is for somebody you. This is somebody you that's here today. Here's what God said. Despise not the day of small things. And as we met in this little church and just some benches there and dirt floors, that church is believing God. That church has got vision. They're going to build another church. It's on out in the beyond where they're meeting here. Is there anybody here today that you say, but God, I've got this little bitty old ministry and it's just a little bitty old Sunday school class and it's just a little bitty old family and it's just a little bitty old income. And Lord, I'm just a little bitty something. I want you to know, despise not the day of small things. Today God can enlarge your coast. I said today God can bring you up on a platform. I said today God can show you favor. I said today God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to a power that worketh in us. And so God was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Oh, lives are being changed. Souls are being saved. Strongholds are being torn down. Oh, God was doing a work. To him be glory. I want you to know, though, not only are there bugs at Mud Creek, but how many know that our God can take bad things and turn them into good? I can't hear you. I still can't hear you. I said, God can take bad things that happen to us, but he can turn them into good. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say all things are good, but it says our God is so good, he can work it together for good and for his glory. Let me tell you what happened. How many know, as we're riding around on this boat, this is Monday morning. We left where we were at, where we were sleeping, those hard benches, and we left there, and then we were going to another location, another church. It was about a 3-hour boat ride, the best I can remember. All of a sudden, we're riding along. The boat motor cuts off. We're all sitting out there in a river about 200 yards wide. The boat motor is off. Well, what do you do when you're out in the river? When the boat motor's off, you drift with the river. And we started drifting toward the side. Listen to me now. The Lord had me to share a devotion that morning about giant killing friends. And you know what we were doing in the boat right when it cut off? It's amazing. God just held us steady. We started saying, Lord, send us a giant killing friend. God, you know we're out here out of gas. We can look out in the distance and see a long ways away from us. It would look like that there was a boat on the left-hand side way up the river. And we thought maybe they can hear us. God, send us a giant killing friend. The boat began to drift. We drifted. We were drifting as the picture. And we ended up over on the side. There were trees by the river. But listen to me. The water was, the trees were submerged in the water, and the water just kept going. It was like a swamp. So here we are. Brother Tyler did a wonderful job with this, an excellent job putting this together. He was up on the top, on the front of the boat. He got up and he started pulling us. We'd get one limb after another trying to work our way up the river. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, guess what happened? We looked and we said, it can't be. We looked and we said, it can't be. And all of a sudden, a young man shows up climbing through the trees, coming through the water with a gas can in his hand. Y'all can't hear me. I said a young man came from the swamp. I said we were out of gas drifting on the river. And a young man showed up in the wood, in a swamp with a gas can in his hand. I said somebody ought to shout and thank God that God knows our need and knows how to provide it. Yes, he does. I'm telling the gospel truth. There he is right there, seen without a shirt on. That young man, somehow or another, I don't understand how he did it. And he gave us enough gas to get down here. I want you to know, my God knows your need. God knows every hair on our head. Our God knows when one sparrow falls to the earth. Our God said this, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many believe that God is Jehovah Jireh? He provides. I said He provides. What kind of need do you've got today? Is it emotional need? Is it a spiritual need? Is it a financial need? It is a relational need. What kind of need is it? What kind of need you got today? Praise God. God supplied the need. Oh, yes, He did. And then we come down. We're eating crabs. Now, this last picture here is what God did in Guyana. The Lord was working with them, confirming, working with them, confirming, coming alongside, empowering, assisting them. God's a God that when He calls us to do something, He enables us to do it. I said when He calls you to do something, when He says He wants you to do something, praise God, He goes before us. He goes behind us. He goes in us. He's with us. He said, I'll empower you. Thank God I won't leave you and don't forsake you. Is there anybody here today? You're feeling insecure. You're feeling fearful. You're feeling like, well, God, you can't use me. I want you to know God doesn't want our ability but our availability. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Will there anybody today take the challenge? Take the challenge. Will you say, Lord, I want to go where you want me to go, be what you want me to be, do what you want me to do? It might mean to go to South America. It might mean to go to Rolling Cove. It might mean to go down to a trailer park down in Monticello, Georgia. It might mean to serve God and teach the Word of God. I don't know what it is, but I know this. The Lord of the work, He has the power. Because He enables us to do the work of the Lord. Glory. This last picture, I title it this. Baptized in crab and curry. How many ever eaten curry? Let me see your hand. The first night on Sunday night, they fixed crab. And I want you to know, the only kind of crab I eat is out of the package. Amen. Here in America. I don't go to the store and... I mean, the restaurants and, you know, these plier-looking, what do you call them things that you crack and crab legs? You know what I'm talking about? What do you call them things? I say, y'all don't know about them either. Amen. Y'all need some practice. I need to help you on this. Y'all need to go to South America and learn how to eat some crab. The first night, I almost starved. Here I am, an American, and they fix crab on Sunday night, and I'm trying to crack them open and, you know, sophisticatedly pull out the little meat. I literally almost starved to death. You don't do that down in South America. Finally, I was learning, I was watching, and I noticed the last night we had to preach the Word of God. It was in a church, and God's glory showed up and showed out. And after it, I said, oh my, it was about 11 o'clock at night, not knowing Tyler was taking this picture. Amen. Tyler, you had to watch that brother all through this trip. Amen. But anyway, I appreciate and love him, the Lord. And so, look, down there in the Caribbean, they just grabbed the crab, they pulled the legs off, and spit out the crab. They spit it out. They put it all in their mouth, the whole thing. Look at it. Look at that bowl full of shells. What you do is you chew it up and you chew up the meat and then you spit out what you don't need. I heard about a lady that went to a restaurant one time. She was a little on the ill side. She said, do y'all have crab? Do y'all serve crab? The waitress said, yes, ma'am, we'll serve anybody. You haven't been acting like crab lately, have you? Hey, look, submerged in crab meat and curry is... Oh, I want you to know. The Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. I begin to think about it. Jesus could come back any moment. The Bible says, as lightning shines of the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Time is short. God wants to work through you. The Lord wants to empower you. God's calling you and me today to afresh and anew, to surrender to Him, to yield to Him, to be willing to be vessels meet for the Master's use. We're here as ambassadors. We're here to tell the good news. We're here to serve God wherever you're at. How many today will take the challenge and say, Lord, I want to go. And I want to be. Would you stand to your feet?